This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network joining us today. It's our Tuesday fantasy football. Get you ready for the start of the season. We've had Michael on the last three Tuesdays, and just a little behind the scenes, the traffic is pretty crazy around Fabiano and his features that end up on our website, sports360az.com, and that he tweets out for us over at nfl.com. So appreciate Michael being on board with us for yet another year. Our staples of Michael Fabiano and Peter King and Jimmy Vaccaro around the NFL, a lot of NFL coverage we bring to you a different sort of way. We're just not like everybody else out there. We're Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart, as we like to say. So Michael Fabiano comes up at 10:35. Pretty much wide open show today because there is so much to get into. Today being August 1st means that the start of college football is right around the corner. We cannot wait for college football. We are very big on college football here. The high school scene in Arizona, we have a high school platform on our website, sports360az.com. We're presented by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support of us as we roll into year number six next month. So with all the football now getting going, I'm looking at August 1st, and there is quite a bit on the college front that's of interest to me, and it's outside of Arizona. I'm a Heisman Trophy voter. Those of you that watch the years, you know I take that pretty personal, and I'm not going to screw around with it. I'm not going to go a direction and say this is the guy that I'm going to vote for. But as we get into August, now at August 1st, and I'm talking Heisman, Sam Darnold over at USC and Josh Rosen at UCLA are clearly two of the quarterbacks that across the country I'm going to be keeping a close eye on. I think you have to look at dark horses when you get in the college football scene, and you have to look for that guy that could be a breakout guy that has a resume from the past. I do believe there's one of those guys right here in our state. You will laugh at me. It's fine. I have the vote. You don't. Kalen Ballage at Arizona State last year has a Heisman Trophy reel from what he did against Texas Tech. I'm not saying he's going to win it, but I'm saying is he's going to touch the football an awful lot. And so I look at guys and say this could be somebody to keep an eye on. I'm very much looking forward to seeing him. I think Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma is somebody to look at this year. JT Barrett is someone to keep an eye on this year. Mason Rudolph is someone to keep an eye on this year. Those are all players at big-time programs. I like it when somebody comes out of the blue that nobody's expecting, that nobody was talking about, that nobody was pumping up and saying, this is going to be that guy. I don't know if it's Lamar Jackson. Remember him? Lamar Jackson's going to be that guy this year or not, I don't know. I don't know if it's Bo Scarborough, running back at Alabama. I don't know that. But I think when you look at those types of players and say, this is going to be where we're going to look at for Heisman candidates, I'm geeked up for the start of that. It's in 3 weeks. On the high school platform, there's scrimmages going on starting at the end of this week. So there's going to be plenty of content up on the website. And, of course, the Cardinals play on Thursday night in Canton, Ohio. A bunch of the backups are going to go against the Cowboys. And we'll get one of these weeks out of the way and get closer to the start of real football, pro football, in September. I just don't care about this stuff in August. This is actually the worst month to be doing pro football this month. It's just dreadful. Other than fantasy, which is fun, and gambling, which is fun, and odds making, which is fun. The rest of it's just a total waste of time. Speaking of waste of time, so Eddie Lacy today, if we're going to bounce over to some pro football for a second, and I'll get more into the concussion thing here in about 20 minutes because there's a lot that's out, about 10 minutes, there's a lot that's out there today. Eddie Lacy today, Eric, we should implement this. We have a good-looking staff here, I think. Don't you think? I mean, we're all in pretty good shape.
It's a really weird question.
We're in good shape.
We have a good-looking side.
Yeah,
I don't
we're
know.
In good
I don't
shape.
I don't look at you people as sex symbols. I look at you as coworkers.
No, I mean, do I walk in and do I look like, wow, he's really not in good shape?
No, I've never thought that.
Okay. Well, and there's times where I felt like I have not been in good shape because
we all go through peaks and valleys.
Yes. Yes. Do I look at Jordan and he walked in today and he's got these dark sunglasses on. He looks like hell.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's just him. I don't have to worry. He's going to bounce back.
We all play hurt. Jared Nielsen
plays hurt.
Like almost daily.
Daily. I mean, he's Iron Man.
He is.
Right?
He is.
Haley comes in here and Haley, I mean, she just does her thing. She gets in, she gets out. It's fine.
Jordan just asked me, have you seen Haley or have you talked to Haley? And I said, I don't think Haley and mornings really go well together.
She was here yesterday on time. She's got a time issue. It's, you know, we're going to address it. We're going to address it. So my point on this whole rant is Eddie Lacy. Have you heard about what's going on today with Eddie Lacy?
I have not. No.
All but Eddie Lacy.
Please tell me about Eddie Lacy.
Eddie Lacy in Seattle. All he has to do today, guys, is you're sitting in your cubicle, if you're on the treadmill, wherever you're taking this in, all you have to do if you're Eddie Lacy is step on the scale today. And if it hits the magic number, you get $50,000.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about motivation.
That is it. 50K.
Do we know what the magic number is?
It's
probably like 285.
No,
I'm just kidding.
But he gets 50K if he steps on the scale and it hits the magic number. This is not buying a lottery ticket. This is not going to Circle K and saying, I'll take 5 scratchers. No. All you have to do is use 2 words. I'm full. That's it. And you're going to get 50K if you've been saying, I'm full enough over the last few months.
That's my kind of bonus structure.
I love how in sports, you're thinking like, I don't know, you have to be in shape. No, you know, boy, we got to write a clause in there that if you get to this weight, we're going to give you more money. God bless the players and how this is. You know, this will sound old guy, get off my lawn, and it's not meant to be. But even if you're in your 20s, right, the thought of a professional athlete has to have a weight clause in his contract to get more money. Come on, guys. That's just asinine in this day and age. Dude, you've got to just say, I'm not going to Golden Corral for the endless chocolate fountain. And if I do go for the endless chocolate fountain, I'm going to forfeit 50K. I love that story. The Diamondbacks made some deals yesterday. They made 2 deals yesterday. One of the 2 deals that they made, I really like. The other one, I don't know. Okay. We mentioned how this team has hit some bad luck. The owner told me at the end of June, I will really be interested to see how good our team is when we have the losing skid. Because every team, Brad, has a losing skid. And I'll be really interested to see how we hit adversity. If you were to go look at the standings of the Diamondbacks, remember the Fernando Rodney walk-off in L.A. in late June or early July. From that point to today, at that point in time when that series started, the Diamondbacks, I believe, were 1.5 games back. And now they're like 12.5 back. It's over in the West. The Dodgers are going to win 110 games. The Dodgers yesterday did get Yu Darvish. I had some of my friends that sent me notes saying parity in baseball is gone. It's the Yankees and Dodgers and everybody else. You know what? On paper, you look at it and say, you know, Darvish has not been great this year. Statistically speaking, Yu Darvish has not been great this year. But Yu Darvish is your number 2 starter in a postseason series with Clayton Kershaw as your number 1. This assumes that Kershaw is going to come back healthy. I think the bigger takeaway for me on this is I have no question the Dodgers are going to go into the postseason. And there's no question that they are going to be the team to beat in the National League. But if you look at the business side of it, Clayton Kershaw can opt out of his deal in L.A. and make gobs and gobs of money. And so now if you're sitting there and you're in L.A., you have to look at this like, oh, this is nice short term, but where are we going from here? And they can get away with it. LA can get away with it. I don't sit here and like, oh, I hate the Dodgers. I don't care. I just don't care, right? I care about the teams that are here in Arizona and how they go about their process. And as long as they're good stewards and they build what I believe to be a respectable product and they handle everybody in town the right way, then I'm going to be fine with it. I think the Diamondbacks have done a fine job this year, a very, very good job this year. So getting David Hernandez yesterday, we put up a poll over on our Sports 360 AZ Twitter poll. Did they do enough? And most of you said that they did. I don't know what else they could have done yesterday. Could they have gone out and gotten Yu Darvish? The Dodgers did not even give up their best prospect. But David Hernandez, you see him there, a 2.23 earned run average in 38 games. I'll take that all day long from this bullpen. And he was a good guy when he was here before. That's fine. Good guys are great. Can they play? You know, I want a team of guys that can play. I don't need a team, a bunch of good guys. I don't need a team that finishes 40 games out of first place. It's great that he's a good guy, and it's great that he's got good numbers. I think it's a good move. I mean, what Hazen has shown me as being general manager here is there's not a whole lot of splash and dance with him, right? I mean, there's not a whole lot of when I'm hearing him speak, because he doesn't speak very often in public. He just goes out and does his thing. And I kind of like that. You know, this was a franchise that in the past had a whole lot of, you know, let's beat our chest. And we don't need that. What we need is just some people that are going to go about their business. We're going to go get J.D. Martinez as a rental player. And guess what? J.D. Martinez has crushed it so far. We're going to go get David Hernandez for the back end of our bullpen because we just don't feel quite right about it. We are going to go get Adam Rosales, who is just a middle infield utility guy. But you need those guys when you lose Chris Owings and you lose Nick Ahmed. And the Diamondbacks lost both of them. Look, we're sitting here on August 1st with a 5.5-game lead in Arizona on the wild card with Milwaukee. This would have to be an epic collapse by the Diamondbacks. It would have to be for them to not get in at least as a wild card. And to blow a 5.5-game lead in the wild card in the month of August, to me, I don't see it happening, okay? It means we're going to have September, which will be beautiful. We're going to have a pennant race. My gosh. You know, they're not going to catch the Dodgers. I get that. But just to get into the postseason, I guess I should put it in those terms. They're going to be in the postseason unless they just play for the next 2 months with both hands around their necks rather than around their bats. And that is terrific. We need that. We do need that. So they play the Cubs tonight. Corbin and Lester. You don't favor the Diamondbacks to beat John Lester, although he can't hold runners on. That's the whole thing with John Lester that we've seen through the years. And with all the bad stuff that's gone on, Ketel Marte loses his mom. Robbie Ray gets hit in the head. They lose Chris Owings. It's been a rough road trip. It really has been a rough road trip. And so far, 2-2 after what happened in St. Louis. See what they do against the Cubs, and then they go to San Francisco this weekend. All right, on the other side, Roger Goodell talked about player safety, which is funny. Marvin Bagley is on my radar today because he showed up on the same court as James Harden and Chris Paul. I have to explain that. We got some ASU video that I want to bring you in the next segment, too. Michael Fabiano, fantasy football conversation in about 10 minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. So the concussion story, it's not going to go away anytime soon. And yesterday was, I don't know if it was a seminal moment, but it was a moment that had people talking because a New York Jet player, Jamal Adams, was sitting next to Roger Goodell yesterday. And there was a fan question about the link between football and degenerative brain disease. And, you know, CTE has been talked about quite a bit. There was a study last week that was released of former NFL players that were part of it. It was a study that I've had some people bounce back to me that watched my take on it. It said, actually, dig a little deeper. You'll find that this study is flawed that was put out last week by the American Medical Journal. I don't know if these people are tied to the NFL. I shouldn't say that. I know one of them is in a roundabout way, but there are others that I don't know what their backstory is to the NFL. The NFL is under a full siege, I think, attack on one hand. The other hand, they're trying to put people out there saying it's really not that bad. That leads up to yesterday. Rookie safety Jamal Adams of the Jets is sitting next to Roger Goodell at this fan question deal. It's at the Jets headquarters. And they were talking about rule changes and this and that. And then it came to making the game safer. Jamal Adams was drafted 6th overall back in April. His quote about the concussion situation was this, quote, "I am all about making the game safer, but as a defensive player, I'm not a big fan of it. But I get it. I can speak for a lot of guys that play the game. We live and breathe. This is what we're so passionate about. Literally, I would, if I had the perfect place to die, it would be, I would die on the field." There were some that were in this crowd yesterday when he said that if I had a perfect place to die, I would die on the field. There were some that cheered him for this stance. Okay. He went on and said, and that's not a lie. There's so much sacrifice that we go through as a team and just connecting as one and winning ball games. There's nothing like playing the game of football. But again, I'm all about making the game safer. That's all I can say. So Roger Goodell is sitting there right next to him when he said, I'd rather die on the field. This was uncomfortable to say the least. Goodell did not show any emotion when Adams said that. Roger Goodell afterwards was asked about the comments as he was sitting there. Quote, this is Roger Goodell, now the commissioner of your beloved Pro Football League. Quote, what he was really making the point of is how much he loves the game and how passionate he is of the game, that he loves playing it. And it's just something that means a great deal to him. Asked how he perceived the fans' applause, Goodell said it reflected their enthusiasm for football. I think the fans understood the emotion of what he was saying. Matt Forte was also as part of this forum. Okay, Matt Forte, those of you who follow the NFL, Matt Forte, good running back with the Bears, now with the Jets. This was one of Goodell's first public speaking engagements since last week's Journal of the American Medical Association. They revealed 110 of 111 donated brains from NFL players showed signs of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE. If you haven't heard of CTE by now, or if this stuff makes you uncomfortable, it should. There's players I won't put on this show anymore because they cannot function. All right? And the problem with this study that came out last week, from what I was told, was, okay, there were 110 of 111 donated brains. Guess what? All those brains were donated by families who believed that their loved one, who was no longer living, was a victim of CTE. So it wasn't a true study. You can't just have all people walk in and say, everybody here has a heart condition, and we're going to do a study on how many people have a heart problem. No, you can't do that. So this study was flawed in that sense. All these brains, did they have issues off the field? Were they upset? Did they have mood swings? Could they not function? Could they not communicate? Versus, okay, here's 112 NFL players that are deceased, and we're just going to have access to their brains, and that's it. We're not going to know if they had issues or not. That would be a true study. So I have to look at this and step back. Hard thing about this whole deal with CTE and brains is it's an issue. And then there's people that don't believe it's an issue that just want to see their football on Fridays, Saturdays, or Sundays. Even at the high school level, I hear about programs trying out for football, and there's not as many kids trying out as there once was. This is no surprise. So a guy that says, I'd rather die on the field, is going to rub some people the wrong way. He is a rookie. He is feeling really good about himself. How is he going to feel when he's 28, 29, 30? I think you might probably get a different answer out of him. I mean, think about it, guys. Yesterday, Ryan Clady of the Jets up and retired. We had Chris Borland at 23 years of age a year ago. We had Ben Roethlisberger causing a stir this past week, talking about concussions and getting away from it. There's going to come a point where we're sitting here with the Arizona Cardinals. Have I missed one, Eric? I don't think we've missed one yet with the Cardinals. But there's going to be a day where we're sitting here. I don't know when that will be. 1 year, 5 years? I don't know. But there'll be a player that will, out of the blue, just say, I'm not doing this anymore, even though they're in the prime playing condition of their career.
I mean, the one that didn't retire because of concussions, but Mike Leach, the long snapper, retired last year, and he could have kept playing, but I wonder if that was one of the one of the things that made him say, you know what, I've had enough.
Well, and I'm not saying that the I'm not saying that the game is under siege from the concussion side of the street. I don't believe there's a side of the street on this one. The NFL has admitted that they don't know. I don't think they're doing nearly enough. And when they talk about player safety and we're playing games on Sunday nights and then the same guys are turning back around 3 days later and playing on Thursdays, that tells me you don't care.
Well, and that starts at the top. Just like the quote that you just read from Goodell is just, he addressed the situation but didn't address the situation.
No.
Someone asked a question or he made a statement and he just made a big circle around the ugly inside of the problem with the NFL. He didn't really talk about the inside problem. He just talked around the inside problem.
Well, and there's not anybody that is really coming forward on the player's side because it's what goes on in the locker room stays in the locker room. Oh, are they going to get their pension? Oh, they're taking the game apart. And yet, when you talk to guys that are in their 40s and 50s, they're much more open about it because they get it. You know, they're seeing the signs of it. And some of them will say, look, I knew this going in. Others, you try to communicate with them about it, and they're just not able to function. You know, there's a couple guys, I'm not going to throw their names out there because I don't want to embarrass them, but there's just guys that were big names in the league that I've had come sit in here that I can't put on anymore. And I don't think it's just a couple of guys that are that way. I was having lunch, Saturday? I was having lunch Saturday with a friend. And she's a football family, and her son's had 5 concussions, and the trainer at the college had to call and say, we have to have a talk about this. And it was really hard. I've got family members, friends that played softball and soccer, and they've been hit by the concussion thing. And they can't be in dark rooms with light coming into them. They can be in a dark room, but they can't have light coming in. They have starbursts in front of them. They have ringing in their ears, and they played softball. So to just ignore this and to say, we're going to talk about backup right tackles and what's going to happen in the Hall of Fame game, never going to happen on this show. Just not. And I'm not banging on the NFL. It's just there's a lot more that can be done on this. And it is an issue that bothers me because I don't like seeing human lives just being treated like pieces of meat. And that's what's going on here. Michael Fabiano is next. We'll have some fun now. Fantasy football on the other side. Huge segment, very popular with what we do here at Sports360AZ.com. Michael, of course, the NFL Network and NFL.com, senior fantasy analyst and insider of the Hall of Famer. That is next. And now out to Southern California, Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, the NFL Network, NFL.com, Hall of Fame analyst, all things fantasy football. Here on August 1st, because now it's really starting to take hold. My inbox is full of draft strategy questions. So let's just start there. Every year, you and I get together and do our weekly thing. And every year, these type of questions turn into take a quarterback later in the draft. Are you still of that opinion? Do you have some different views on strategy for fantasy, Michael?
No, you're still going to be focusing on running backs and wide receivers. The quarterback position, unless you're talking about Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, for example, is a position that you can wait on. In fact, Matt Ryan right now, based on NFL.com's ADP, is going off the board in round 5, which to me is way too high. And I understand that this is the guy who was the MVP of the league last year, and he was the second best player in fantasy football. But I always tell people to beware the magical season, and I think Ryan is coming off of a magical season. I would rather wait until the 8th, 9th, 10th round and get a Cam Newton or a Dak Prescott or a Kirk Cousins, who can all be top 10 fantasy quarterbacks and have been in the past, rather than take a 5th round pick on a Matt Ryan or even a Russell Wilson.
So are you suggesting Matt Ryan this year is going to fall back to earth? Is that what you're saying, Michael?
Yep. I would be shocked if he didn't. If you look at his numbers, his previous 3 years didn't score more than 300 fantasy points. Let's not forget that he wasn't drafted in some leagues last year.
Mm-hmm.
He won previous season with over 300 fantasy points, and it was just barely over 300 fantasy points. He's got a new offensive coordinator in Steve Sarkisian, who's never called a play in the NFL. I'm not saying that Matt Ryan will be a complete bust, as long as your expectations are legitimate and legitimate expectations for Matt Ryan. 285 fantasy points, somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,300 passing yards, around 30 touchdowns. He will not duplicate what he did last season.
All right, and that was my main question from fans in the mailbag is about Matt Ryan. Let me throw some names at you, though, because I'm getting mixed feel from fans about where to take Todd Gurley. Let's start with Todd Gurley. I'll throw some other running backs at you. Mm-hmm. Todd Gurley.
Second or third round. I would prefer third round, beginning of the third round. He could be a guy who is one of those turn players where if you're at the back of the second round, beginning of the third round, you could be looking at him.
Right.
You know, I feel like he's not going to be nearly as bad as he was last year. I don't know that he'll be as effective as he was as a rookie, but I'm still projecting him for around 1,000 yards and a neighborhood of 8 touchdowns. And you would think that Sean McVay is going to be able to utilize him. They did include utilize him as a centerpiece of that offense better than Jeff Fisher last year. And I do believe that McVay will help really succeed this season where he failed last year. Now, with that being said, the offensive line still has some question marks. They did add Andrew Whitworth in the offseason. He's an all-pro. But that offensive line is key and to Gurley's success this season, as is hopefully the improvement of Jared Goff. I can't see him being worse than he was last year because he had it in the headlights look all season long.
Yeah.
But that is one issue that fantasy owners also have to contend with Todd Gurley, is that if Jared Goff is not better, Todd Gurley could really be seeing a lot of stacked fronts.
No, that's a great point. Jordan Howard.
I'm a fan of Jordan Howard. I say that he's worth a first-round pick. He'll probably go in the second round in most drafts. If you look at his numbers from last year, and everyone raved about Ezekiel Elliott, and rightly so because he was amazing, Jordan Howard averaged more yards after contact. He averaged more yards per carry. He was second in rushing behind Zeke, despite the fact that he didn't start, I believe, until the fourth week of the season. And if you listen to Chicago Bears beat writers, they believe Howard is in better shape now than he was last year and that he left some yards mm-hmm. on the field in 2016. So is there that sophomore slump potential? I mean, you can say that about anybody coming into their second season.
Right.
It was true last year of Todd Gurley. But if the offensive line can avoid injuries, that offensive line is not bad at all. And it should suffice for Jordan Howard to be able to make plays, and he will be the featured back in that offense. And John Fox, we know, will run the football. And you would think that the quarterback position has been upgraded somewhat over Matt Barkley last year. Of course, Jay Cutler missed a lot of the year, but you've got the rookie Mitchell Trubisky, who probably will start the season on the bench behind Mike Glennon. So unless we have a Houston Texans Brian Hoyer to Brock Osweiler situation where we thought it was going to be better, it ended up being worse.
Yeah,
the quarterback situation, and that should help Jordan Howard succeed this year. I have him in my top 10 among running backs.
All right. Yeah, I get a lot of questions about him. With the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com. You can watch him. You can read all his content. Check it out over on NFL.com and, of course, on the NFL Network. What do you make out of what's going on here in Arizona this year with two players in particular, and that is Carson Palmer and John Brown? You know, Carson Palmer, mm-hmm. everybody is saying this is the end of the line for Carson from a fantasy standpoint. And of course, John Brown last year was off the radar for injury. Both those guys, if you could address it.
Palmer's going to be worth a late-round pick as a QB2. What happened last year, he was inconsistent at best
yep.
last season.
Yep.
And I believe he may have been ranked a little too highly, even by myself last year, based off of what he did the previous season. He is 38 years old, so he's certainly long in the tooth, even at the quarterback position. It doesn't mean he can't succeed. You've had, you know, several quarterbacks succeed at that age. I project him for over 4,000 passing yards and somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 27 touchdown passes, which is pretty good. At this day and age, that's probably QB2 with how many stud quarterbacks that you have in the National Football League. And as for John Brown, I think he could end up being a late-round bargain as long as his health keeps him on the field. And we all know the situation with the sickle cell trait that kept him off of the gridiron last year. But I mean, he's your number two wide receiver right now. Michael Floyd clearly not on the roster anymore. And John Brown is a guy who can stretch defenses and make plays. And he had a rapport with Carson Palmer a couple of seasons ago. And I believe he was a 1,000-yard receiver. So Brown is a guy that I would be targeting somewhere in the later rounds as potentially a fourth wide receiver, depending on the size of your league, who could pay dividends. But there is a little bit of risk there, of course. The offense is going to run through David Johnson, and we've already seen quotes from David and others that he wants 1,000 yards rushing and receiving, and I do believe the Cardinals are going to give him the opportunity to do that. And if that happens, you're looking at a historical season for a fantasy running back. I've told you this before. The season that he put up last year was LaDainian Tomlinson-esque, Marshall Faulk-esque, Priest Holmes-esque. He was just tremendous.
Before I let you go, what trends are you seeing in drafts that make you raise your eyebrows a little bit? Because now we're in that time of year where drafts are taking place. You see them roll through NFL.com. Mm-hmm. What are some of the trends you're seeing?
Mm-hmm. Well, for one thing, I'm seeing a lot of rookie running backs going earlier than I would expect. And I'm not talking about Leonard Fournette and Joe Mixon and Dalvin Cook. I'm talking about people like Joe Williams, who I think is worth a late-round pick, but some people are really pushing him to be the guy in San Francisco when Carlos Hyde is there and Tim Hightower is there. I think the Jamal Williams hype train has slowed a little bit because there's been a lot of positive talk about Ty Montgomery over the last couple of weeks. Rob Kelly is considered, projected to be the starter in Washington, but right now, Samaje Perine is being drafted ahead of him. Now, I do think Perine will be the better running back at the end of the season, but people are really drafting him higher than I believe he should be because there's no guarantee that this doesn't end up being a committee. A lot of times what happens with rookie running backs is that people get excited about the upside and they get excited about the potential, and then they overdraft these guys. And then at the end of the season, you're looking back and thinking, why did I take Joe Williams in the eighth or ninth round? It wasn't worth my time. Right. So that's one thing that I'm noticing. And there will be several running backs among rookies who are going to put up great numbers this year. The class was just ridiculously talented. It's deep, and there's a lot of guys who are going to be in a position to succeed. But that doesn't mean that it's going to happen for every single one of these players. I still believe in Carlos Hyde in San Francisco. Ty Montgomery has certainly staked his claim to being the starter and maybe close to a featured back in Green Bay, for example. Rob Kelly, despite the fact that he averaged only 3.2 yards per carry in his final six starts of 2016, still had flashes of brilliance. He had one game with over 30 fantasy points, so he's not going to give up that job so easily. So even though we love players with upside, especially at the running back position, because there's not a lot of rookie wide receivers who are projected to make a big impact this year.
Right.
I wouldn't overvalue them to the point where you're overlooking a player who has a better chance of helping you this season by taking a rookie running back who might end up being in a backfield committee or potentially being a starter with the possibility of being a true featured back being slim. Joe Williams, I don't think, is going to be a true featured back this year. If Carlos Hyde gets hurt, okay, we understand that, but you've got Tim Hightower there, you've got Hyde there. So just be smart about where you're drafting some of these rookie running backs.
All right, I'll let you go off that. Appreciate the insight as always. Thanks.
All right, take care.
It's Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, with us, NFL.com and NFL Network, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our football show tonight, Brad Sesmat, Football AZ. We have 16 airings on Fox Sports Arizona. That is tonight after the Diamondbacks and Cubs game. Thanks for being with us. We're going to get the story here in a minute on Donald De La Haye, the kicker at Central Florida, who has been told you got to take down your YouTube videos because you're making money off them by the NCAA, and he's actually had a scholarship revoked, and all this happened yesterday in Central Florida. I've got some thoughts on that and bring you more on that story. Very interesting. Eric was at Camp Tonizona yesterday, and of course, when you talk about Arizona State football after a brutal season last year, did not even make a bowl game. Their secondary is depleted, but the however here is Todd Graham believes he has the right people in place from a coaching staff side of things to get it turned around on the defensive side of the football, in particular in the secondary. Here's Eric's piece.
Let's don't kid ourselves. It's not rocket science. You know, you got to fit the run, distribute the pass, and you've got to be able to tackle. Tackling is something that is neglected. You know, people say, why do they give up so many plays? You know what? Some of these plays were three-yard passes that they didn't make the tackle.
We do have speed and athleticism, and that's why we brought him here, man, because I think he's the best I know at doing that. He's just got a passionate approach to the way he does things. He brings out the best in those guys. So those guys have gotten better.
If you slip and that receiver's gone, that's where you got to turn it on. Recovery. You develop habits here. You understand?
I have nightmares sometimes about that voice. I wake up out of my sleep kind of sweating. No, I'm just playing. But, I mean, he's a great coach. I mean, I love Coach Bennett to death. As human beings, we're not perfect, but, I mean, we have to be perfect. That's what he wants. He strives for perfection. If he's going to get it every day. He's going to strain us every day. So, I mean, he's going to strain us to be the best that we can be, basically.
I like the room. And obviously, you know, let's don't kid ourselves. I mean, we've got some guys inexperienced, but they're talented. And it's my job and it's TJ's job to put them in position to be successful.
All right. So on the defensive side of the football, that's where the Sun Devils are trying to get it turned around up at Camp Tonnezona. The scrimmage is this Saturday. If you want to head up during the week, knock yourself out. It's beautiful up there. I'd say what, Eric, hour and 45, clean hour 45.
Yep.
And you're there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, not an easy drive.
Easy drive, yeah. It's fun. And Saturday, if you're going to go up to the scrimmage, I'd leave here like at 6:30, get up there early.
And they finished practice, Brad, about 6 or 7 minutes before a major storm came through,
I guess, yesterday.
Yeah. There's a reason why they don't do two workouts a day up there.
They just can't do it.
They've got to be sensitive to weather issues, as it is that time of year here in Arizona.
Did you hear about the Central Florida kicker, Donald De La Haye.
De La Haye, about that football scholarship.
So the NCAA, and I think this is somewhat tricky, actually. You know, the NCAA tries to monetize everything to the last nth degree. It's their organization. This goes all the way back to Greg Anthony selling T-shirts at UNLV back in the day with Anderson Hunt and Larry Johnson. It's just a different time, different business model. So here's this kicker, guys, at Central Florida. And he has now been ruled ineligible after he refused to agree to terms of an NCAA waiver that would have allowed him to continue posting YouTube videos. He has been receiving advertising money from these YouTube videos. The waiver, which was granted, said that De La Haye could maintain his eligibility and continue to monetize videos that did not reference his status as a student athlete or depict his football skill or ability. And in short, NCAA said, we're not going to let you go on YouTube and wear gear that is NCAA required with the brand of the university, even though you're trying to work your way through school. So here's De La Haye. This was yesterday afternoon. He posted this video after he got back from the compliance office at University of Central Florida. And to believe that there aren't other businesses being run by players, you know, I could even go as far as to say there was some dudes that were involved with point shaving at Arizona State that were trying to make money as students, right? To think that students on campus aren't trying to find ways to scam their way through, you're kidding yourselves. So here's De La Haye. This was yesterday he posted this video after getting the bomb dropped on him by the NCAA.
Oh, man. This is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Oh. Every time I step in that compliance building, I hear nothing but bad news. But hey, man. Negative things in life dictate one's character. Basically, I'm ruled ineligible because I refuse to demonetize my videos, some that I've worked so hard for, some that I've put blood, sweat, and tears into, some that I eat, sleep, breathe about. No. just having fun, a young man having fun in his free time, making little videos to help motivate, inspire others. And I get deemed ineligible to continue playing college sports because of it. Oh, man. I may seem unbothered right now, or whatever it may seem like. Well, no, I'm definitely torn apart inside, man.
All right, so, and you can understand that. Now, the NCAA, in the business of fairness here, which I can sit here and say, they're evil. They're the worst people on the face of the planet. Screw the NCAA. I mean, on and on and on and on. And I may get to that point, but they did release their statement on this. Although Donald De La Haye has chosen not to compete any longer as a UCF student athlete, he could have continued playing football for the university and earned money from his non-athletic YouTube videos based on a waiver that was granted on July 14th. So the NCAA is saying, we gave him a waiver, he could have kept doing it. De La Haye decided he did not want to separate his athletically related videos from non-athletic ones that he could monetize, which was outlined in the waiver. Contrary to misinterpretations, making a YouTube video and even making money off it is not a violation of an NCAA rule. Further, years ago, the membership gave NCAA staff the ability to review situations like these case by case. After the national office received the waiver request from UCF, University of Central Florida, earlier in July, that process was used to confirm that De La Haye could monetize his videos activities as long as it was not based on his athletic reputation, prestige, or ability. I don't know. This is what I do. I'm a kicker. Well, if you're a kicker, you cannot make any money off it. Because, you know, UCF is right there alongside of Alabama. It's right there alongside of USC. In fact, it's right there alongside of Arizona State University. We have to make sure, young man, that you cannot put any videos up that have money attached to them that shows you doing what you love to do and representing the university. Because only we can make money off of that. So he didn't want to take down the videos that have him participate as a football player. I haven't seen the videos. I don't know if they're any good or not.
He's making money off of them. So somebody clearly likes them. I guess the flip side of this, Brad, would be, okay, so he would have been a junior in eligibility. So how difficult would it have been for him just to hold off on these videos for another year and a half? Until the last game of his senior season. He's probably not going to go kick in the NFL.
So is that the only reason why people are watching his videos? Is because he's doing some fun stuff around being a kicker?
Again, I haven't seen the videos, so right. I don't know. Maybe. Right. Maybe that's the case.
But here's the thing on it. Is it overreaching by the NCAA to go target a kid? Is it just as easy to go target a kid at Alabama? If they would have said, sure, knock yourself out, go keep doing this, are they opening up Pandora's box?
Oh, of course.
No different than Greg Anthony, right?
If you really did a deep dive into all these big-time power programs and all the illegal contacts these coaches are making with recruits and all the things that are going on, the underbelly of recruiting,
right?
And they do seem to be picking on this UCF kicker for making a couple bucks on the side. I can see why he'd be so upset by this.
Okay, so there are a couple things. His dorm room looked pretty good.
It did.
Okay. Does that matter to me that he's got all sorts of hats that are hanging behind him? Does that imply that he's doing okay? He says he can't go to school any longer. He has to drop out because he can't afford to go to school any longer. He started crowdfunding and he's raised $1,500 this morning. He needs $30,000 a year to be able to stay in school. Is it the end of this story? In my view, it is not. There'll be others that will come forward and say, we want to help you. Does it seem like the NCAA is being ogres on this? Well, they're saying, well, we tried to work with him. It's just he can't show himself. So if he went out and he kicked in a pair of shorts and a white T-shirt that had no logos on them at all, and he kicked at a high school field, the fact that he's a kicker at the college, is that why they're saying this doesn't work?
I also wonder if he could detour the NCAA, i.e. go kick at a junior college for a year, keep your business going, and then maybe go back and kick somewhere at a Division I level for a senior year, put the business on hold until you're done. That way you scratch both of those itches.
What if you go to an NAIA school?
I don't know. I don't really know the rules.
What if you went to Arizona Christian or Ottawa University when they start next year. You know, we got another NAIA program. They're NAIA, right, Ottawa?
They're going to be NAIA,
yeah. I mean, they're starting a football program. I mean, you could go a lot of different places around the country. To your point, Eric, I think there's some validity there. If you go to UCLA, you can't wear UCLA gear. You go to a Division II program, you're going to have a Division II program that will say, you know what, the publicity alone on this, if I go to Adams State, although Becca Longo's up there kicking at Adams State, you know, we don't want to take her out of the equation from Basham. Anyways, I really like that story. One last bit of news today. It's just tragic and heartbreaking. David Faraday posted this morning on Twitter that he lost his 20-year-old son to an overdose. And you just don't know what to say on those types of things. And other than it, drugs don't just stay away from people that have, they're on television, they have a decimal point down the line. It's just gut-wrenching. We've had Faraday on here before. I love his show. I think he's really smart. And that's just a tough, tough deal to read about today. Oh, and Bruce Arians announced, get this, not one starter is going to play against the Cowboys Thursday night. Not one. I'm not ripping on Bruce. It just, again, to my point of, you know, let me get this straight. You guys are getting training camp together. You're going to put them in harm's way for 5 weeks, and you're not even going to play any of them. Who watches this stuff when you're not playing any starter? What's the point? Oh, the backups get some run. Great. Knock yourself out with that. I'm going to watch backup football. No. Tonight, we have our football show, and we are not talking about backups. We're talking about starters and Kurt Warner going into the Hall of Fame. That is tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. 16 airings this week on FSAZ. Appreciate the partnership with them. Brad Sussmat Football AZ. The advertisers you see during the show, without their support, we're not here. All right. So we appreciate their support. Appreciate you supporting them. If you want to be involved with us, you can always get in touch with us, too. Appreciate that. It's Brad at sports360az.com. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. He's the Iron Man here. Eric, senior executive vice president of everything or nothing, depending on the day. And Jordan and Haley and the rest of the gang here. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy your Tuesday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.